Familiar but New Every Time by Yuli Aris, read by CookieMom6067. Where are we going? Asks Niles, seatbelt clicking. She catches herself peering out the small airplane window, even though it's too dark to see anything but the small runway lights. At least this time, there don't seem to be any drugs in the cargo. Joe grins, fingers tapping against his thigh. Back to Europe. Southern Italy, adds Nikki, nudging Joe over to sit next to him while keeping his eyes on Niall. Beneath them, the plane rumbles as the engine roars to life. Have you ever been? Never, says Niall, as Joe grumbles and makes faces at being forced to adjust in his seat. Nikki's long legs bent and knocking against Joe's knee, the length of their thighs pressed together. The restless tap of Joe's fingers settles and then ceases entirely. Being deployed to Afghanistan was my first time out of the country. Nikki leans forward, grinning. You will like it, he promises. They have wonderful cheeses. And wine, adds Joe, leaning back and pointing at Andy, who's digging something out of her backpack. Brunello di Montalcino, 1889? Mmm, says Andy, the corner of her mouth quirking. She shoves an energy bar in her back pocket and chucks a paper back onto the seat by Niall, where it lands with a thump. The zipper whines as she yanks it shut again. That was a good year. Aged in oak for at least 3 years, intones Joe, smiling wistfully at the ceiling. Sangiovese, grapes only. Sanguis Jovis, the blood of Jupiter. And Nikki made us that risotto. Portobello mushroom with pheasant, recalls Nikki, dimple flashing. Joe snaps his fingers. That's the one. And we opened up that wine. 10 years in the bottle at least, you know. You got to let it breathe for an hour after opening it up. Niall groans. You're going to turn me into a wine snob, aren't you? Connoisseur, corrects Joe cheekily. No, no, says Nikki. Indentitrice. We're going to Italy. She must learn Italiano. Below them, the engine kicks into a higher gear and the plane shudders slightly as it starts to roll down the runway, slowly at first and then picking up speed. Andy smacks a hand on the overhead bin to remain standing. Niall frowns at her and then Joe and Nikki. She's the only one who has fastened seatbelt. Andy smirks as if daring Niall to make a comment. How much Italian do you know, Niall? Asks Nikki. Says Niall. Mamma mia? Nikki bumps his shoulder against Joe, who is laughing loudly. We'll teach you. Niall looks up, catches Andy's eye. I was actually thinking of starting with Russian. Both she and Andy snort with laughter at Nikki's offended expression. Inaccettabile, he mutters, turning up his nose. Very funny. We'll start with the basics, yes? Per favore and grazie. Does she always nap on flights? Asks Niall softly, pulling one earbud out. Andy is a quiet sleeper, face pale and still as stone. Joe and Nikki exchange a heavy glance that makes Niall feel bad for asking. Never mind, she starts to say, but Nikki has started answering before she can get it out. She sleeps when we're over the ocean, he says quietly. Niall's throat bobs, suddenly empty. She jerks a nod instead and looks anywhere but towards where Andy lays, breathing soft, steady breaths. Listening to music? Asks Joe, shifting closer. A podcast, she says. The Breakfast Club. It's kind of a mix of gossip and music and politics. I don't know. It's silly, but I like it. She turns the iPod over in her hands. I started listening when I got deployed. Made me feel like I was still keeping track of things back home. Joe nods, but his eyes are distant. That's good. That's nice. You've traveled a lot, Niall says. Do you ever miss your home? Do you still think about it? Joe looks over at Nikki and says nothing. Yes, says Nikki and smiles. We're flying to it now. We land at the Lamezia Terme airport, says Nikki. From there, it's a 2-hour drive to Stilo in Calabria. Stilo, repeats Niall, trying to roll it off her tongue like he does. Beautiful small town, adds Joe, and very safe these days. These days? Briganti used to waylay travelers on the roads in the 18th century, says Nikki, gazing out the windows at the roads, white and winding amongst the rough green hills below them. Niall frowns. Like highway robbers? Nikki smiles sadly and shakes his head. I'm sure they prefer to call themselves revolutionaries against the tyranny of Rome. The Risorgimento united Italy. The land was part of the Kingdom of Sicily before that. Sicily citra farum, muttered Joe, rolling his eyes. He sketches out a rough outline of Italy on his hand, and then the small island right beneath its tip. He taps the upper right corner of the island. Punta di Faro is the nearest point to the Strait of Messina, which divides the peninsula from the island, so citra farum means on this side of Faro, not to be confused with Sicily ultra farum on the other side of Faro. Very precise directions, obviously. Nicky smiles, dimple flashing. Not the worst choice of landmarks, given the options. It's pretty bad, mutters Joe. Looks good on maps, but you can't tell when you're on the ground. I'm sure you'd noticed if you crossed the strait, harder to miss the ocean. Says the man who missed the literal volcano off the coast. Niall zones out from their bickering, looking down again at the green land that is unfolded beneath them. It looks nothing like the concrete sprawl of Chicago or brown sands of Afghanistan. She thinks about their landmarks. Will she still remember them by the time she returns? And how many years will that be? Will they even be the same? The rented SUV throws up a trail of dust behind them as they rumble out of the city and into the green hills. Niall leans out the window, squinting against the rush of air, eager to see the view now that they're on the ground. Up close, the vegetation looks less like a springy green carpet, more scraggly and desperate, twisting up from the rocky dirt towards the bright sun. In the back seat, Nicky is staring out the window, one hand resting on Joe's thigh next to the notebook where Joe is sketching loosely, Andy's profile shielded by her sunglasses, the rounded swing of Niall's earrings. Nicky, head thrown back, inhaling the sea-stung air with a sigh. Niall looks back out at the rolling hills, rising and dipping almost rhythmically past. A nudge on her arm awakens Niall from a doze, slumped against the seatbelt, elbow digging uncomfortably into the hard car door jam. There are more hills now, rising in smooth waves like an ambling terrace and dotted by pale, gnarled trees. Andy points up toward a pale building, blocky and small with distance. "That's us," she says. And over the next 10 minutes, it grows into a squat two-story house surrounded by a tall stone wall. When they finally rolled up next to it, Nicky has to hop out of the car and unlock the iron gate before they can pull into the courtyard. It wraps around the entire building, pale and weathered, straight lines stark against the rolling hills. Opening the heavy wooden door takes a key and some aggressive shoving and throws up a cloud of glinting dust where it hits the sun. "When was the last time anyone was here?" coughs Niall, trying to wave it away before stepping inside. The dust simply shifts and swirls around her hand. The interior is dark and cool, and the air is stale. Joe sneezes. 50 years? "Ground floor toilets in here," calls Nicky, and in the dim light she sees him swing open a door to the smallest bathroom she's ever seen. The hinges creak loudly. It's just a toilet and a sink practically on top of each other. Niall looks at it dubiously. "Do these pipes even work?" "There's an outhouse," says Andy flatly, and Niall tries to hide her dismay before a small smirk gives Andy away. "You jerk," Niall bursts and snatches up a dusty pillow from the couch to chuck at Andy, making her laugh and then sneeze, nose wrinkling. "Ugh, bless you." Andy snorts and turns back to the doorway. "I'll start getting things out of the car." "There's a larger bathroom upstairs with a shower," says Nicky, moving with purpose through the doorway on the right. "Why don't you open up the windows?" "Bet I can open more windows than you," dares Joe. And Niall's first memories of the Stiele house blur into a breathless rush, laughing as she vaults over furniture to rustle latches on the wooden shutters. Thrown open, they let in a gust of fresh air and sunshine, slicing back the darkness and revealing old rooms full of weird knickknacks and mismatched furniture. They knock shoulders with each other on the stairs leading to the second floor, skidding down a narrow hallway, tripping on a long rug and knocking over an honest-to-God suit of armor in a cacophonous crash. "You better put that back together," hollers Andy from somewhere below them as Niall takes the door on the right and Joe dives through a door on the left, the helmet slowly rolling under a narrow end table with elegant carved feet. The hallway ends in a larger room, some sort of lounge with a spinning wheel and a large wooden chest and an enormous spider web strung between them. Joe trips over an armchair and goes sprawling to the floor where he flops over, panting. "I think," he says between gasps, "that's all of them." He sneezes again, raises his head to look at her. "How many did you get?" "Don't remember," Niall manages, leaning forward to rest her hands on her knees, breathing deep, feeling her heartbeat pound. The skin over her knuckles, scraped raw from slamming open the last window, burns momentarily, itches for a second, and then heals over completely. "Oh, good," says Joe, and lets his head fall back. "Me either." After a few minutes' rest, he leads the way to the kitchen, where Nikki slides them each a glass of water with a snort and doesn't comment on their dust streaks. Niall looks around as she gratefully gulps down the cool water. He's clearly been busy, for there's no sign of dust here. The counters are wiped clean and gleaming, cupboards thrown open to reveal uneven stacks of bowls, plates, pots, and pans out, and a chunky metal machine with a handle. "Look," says Nikki warmly, "my favorite copper paella pan." He pulls it out from under the counter. It flashes in the light as he waves it, the dimpled surface glinting like dragon scales. "Nice," says Joe agreeably. Niall looks at the shiny reddish-orange pan in interest. "Copper?" "Yes," says Nikki, looking pleased. "If cast iron is king, then copper is the queen. The metal heats quickly and evenly. See how thick the sides are?" He wraps his knuckles against it with an echoing clang. "A quality pan. Do you like seafood?" "Haven't had much," she says. "Mostly shrimp and fish." "You're going to love it," promises Nikki, so fervently it almost sounds like a threat. "Or I might be allergic," she says, amused. "Eh," says Joe, scratching his beard. There's a wispy string of cobwebs stuck in it. "Unlikely. Hasn't been an issue before." He pauses, eyes flicking to the empty hallway before speaking a bit more softly. "Quinn could drink milk." He pauses again, a wistful expression crossing his face, though she did hate cilantro. The room is silent for a moment until Nikki clears his throat. "Well, while we're here, we can try lots of new foods," he says, which amuses Niall, since he obviously means that Niall can try new foods. She wonders how many foods exist that they haven't already had. Nikki tucks a towel over the handle of the oven. "I'm done here. Did you see enough of the house, or would you like a proper tour?" They've settled in by the time the sun starts to throw long dark shadows. Niall's got her room dusted and swept, sleeping bag spread out on top of the thin mattress, and duffel bag half emptied into the dresser by the time the shadows start to get long. It's not up to inspection standards, but it's enough that she won't suffocate on dust in her sleep. She heads down the stairs and towards the kitchen, drawn by the comforting domestic sounds of cooking, dishes clattering, the click and hiss of the oven burner lighting, and the rhythmic thunk of a knife against the cutting board. Sure enough, she finds Nikki behind the counter, a dark blue apron tied around his waist and shirt sleeves rolled up. "What are you making?" Niall asks. "Bolognese," says Nikki, knife flashing as it smoothly slices through a pale yellow onion. He slides it into a heavy-looking pot, along with a drizzle of oil and a thick pat of creamy butter, which sizzles as it hits the bottom. "Can I help?" she asks, as the scent of cooking onions blooms to fill the kitchen. "You want to?" Nikki asks, eyebrows lifting. "Yes," she says, confused. "Is that okay?" "Of course," he says and waves her over. "You can chop the carrots and celery. Do you want an apron?" Joe looks up from the couch in the living area, which opens up alongside the kitchen. "Nikki, can I help too?" "No," says Nikki curtly. "Stay out of my kitchen, you bottomless pit." "Is he that bad of a cook?" asks Niall. She decides against the apron. It's so old it looks like it might fall apart if she touches it. "He's a compulsive nibbler," says Nikki, throwing Joe a stink eye. "If he likes what he tastes, he'll keep eating it." Joe makes a wounded noise. "It's a compliment to the chef." Nikki shakes his head in exasperation. It's sabotage, he mutters. Pasta carbonara with no pancetta and half the parmesan is just under-seasoned noodles. He waves a spoon at Niall. You will learn. You can trust that man with your life, but not your larder. Across the room, Joe clutches his chest dramatically with one hand, flinging the other out towards Nikki, palm up. Il mio amore è così crudele, he moans. Nikki pointedly turns his back on the dramatic scene, but the corner of his mouth is curled into a smile that he isn't trying very hard to hide. Small pieces like this, he says, and hands Niall the knife. And kindly keep your knuckles curled. I don't like cooking fingers. I thought I was supposed to be trying new foods, quips Niall, widening her eyes. Ha, barks Joe from the couch, delighted. We do not encourage cannibal jokes, Nikki says primly, but is interrupted by Andy strolling in. We're eating people? Asks Andy, leaning onto the counter. She smells like the outdoors. But I bought you that pancetta. Could have saved me a trip. They eat dinner together, and this time Andy actually sits down at the table. The whole house is steeped in the mouth-watering scent of fried onions, tomato, and parmesan. Nikki, Andy says, closing her eyes after the first bite, this is good. Niall helped, says Nikki, looking pleased, though Niall tries to wave it off. I just chopped when you said chop, she says. A perfect sous chef, then. Andy pulls a fig from the bowl on the table and whips it at Niall, who, caught by surprise, fumbles it twice before the small velvety fruit is secure in her palm. We need to improve your hand-to-hand combat skills, says Andy. We'll start tomorrow. Says Niall. But it's not like she's got anything else on her schedule. Aren't you still healing? Andy just snorts at her. If Nikki is teaching you to cook and Andy is teaching you hand-to-hand, then I have to teach you something too, declares Joe. What do you want to learn? You're already teaching me Italian, she points out, but he waves that aside. That's a group project, he says. Ooh, did they teach you Morse code? No, she shakes her head. Only the radio interceptors had to learn it. Perfect, he said. We can use it to send secret messages to each other. She looks in surprise at Andy and Nikki. You don't... Boring, says Andy. Nikki knows, but he's polite enough to pretend he doesn't, says Joe, as Nikki rolls his eyes. Later, Niall helps Joe wash the dishes while Nikki pulls out a deck of cards and begins to shuffle in smooth practice movements. Andy fetches a bottle of wine. Rummy? Asks Nikki. Niall, do you know how to play? I know the basics, she says. Trying to make sets and runs, yeah? Excellent, says Nikki and starts dealing out cards. Nikki wins the first two hands. There is no way he's not cheating, Niall mutters. All right, says Andy, cracking her knuckles. It's on now. Across the table from her, Joe catches her eye and puts a finger on an ace. He taps it once, then puts his finger back on it, pausing before lifting his finger again, and then winks. By the end of the night, Nikki's won 3 out of every 5 hands. Niall's learned Morse code for A, K, and Q, and the wine bottle is empty. Niall jerks awake in confusion before realizing where she is. The sun of a new day creeping up the unfamiliar blanket of her new bed, head faintly aching from the alcohol-fueled card game. Her bedroom door is open and there's a glass of water on the bedstand that she gulps gratefully. Niall swings herself from the bed to gaze out the window, where the sun is brilliant yellow on the horizon, rising over green hills. Looking down, she catches sight of Andy slowly and methodically moving through combat moves in the courtyard, because of course Andy would be both a stay-up-all-night and up-at-the-crack-of-dawn person. Niall yawns, adjusts her headscarf, and goes back to bed. The kitchen smells like coffee when Niall finally wanders down for breakfast, and Nikki insists on making her a cafe latte, heating the milk on the stovetop. This is a cornetto, says Joe, handing her a pastry. Nikki bought them this morning. It's golden brown and still slightly warm. And though it looks like a croissant, Niall finds it softer, sweeter, and filled with orange marmalade. Wow, she says, swallowing the first bite, golden crumbs dusting her fingers. What filling did you get? He asks and nods when she shows him. Even before her second bite, the bright citrus lingers on her tongue. "That's a good one," he says. "I like the cream-filled ones myself." "There's cream-filled ones?" "Oh, yes. And other jams as well. And almond paste. You'll have to taste them all. Find your favorite." "Such a burden," she jokes. And Joe nods with her solemnly. "I know," he says mournfully, clutching his belly. Later that day, Andy announces she's going out to restock their first aid supplies, and Niall eagerly volunteers to join her. Andy, as always, drives with one hand and carelessly blows past the speed limit, though she slows to something reasonable when they get closer to town. Niall inhales deeply and can smell the sea. The store they stop at has a colorful awning, and Niall tries not to stare too obviously at the riot of unfamiliar labels lining the aisles. They each grab a basket and split into separate aisles. "Thank heaven for Google," thinks Niall, looking up some shampoo brands and basic Italian translations, fingers trailing over the rounded, chunky containers. She's just about ready when Andy finds her and holds out her selections. "What do you think?" Niall looks in the basket. It's half full of energy bars, and there isn't any antiseptic. "Maybe some wipes or cream to clean out the wound?" Andy gives her a blank look. "We have alcohol." "That is not the same. And this is supposed to be something you can pick up and go with, not take a quick stop at the liquor cabinet." Andy tilts her head upwards but doesn't protest when Niall takes them back to the other aisle, scans the shelves, and throws a package in. "Bandages, gauze, scissors, tweezers," says Niall, and then eyes Andy's profile. "Are you going to be insulted if I also suggest buying some pain meds?" "Oh, we already have a bottle of cocaine," Andy assures her blithely. "Found it in the back of the cabinet. Or do you think it goes bad?" Joe and Nikki look up when Andy and Niall return from their convenience store run, paper bags rustling. "How was it?" asks Joe. "Find anything interesting?" Andy snorts and veers off down the hallway, taking the bag of first aid supplies with her. "I just want to inform you," Niall says, "that cocaine is no longer considered an appropriate anesthetic to just pick up at the corner shop. Other than that, I got hair supplies," Niall says, shaking her bag. "The humidity is making me go all frizzy." Her curious gaze falls on Joe's hair. "Does your hair not..." Joe shrugs. "Just keep it as short as I can while fitting in and oil it once a week. I don't really style it." He grins. "Funny the things you don't find time for when you've got all the time in the world." At that, Niall laughs. "Well, if you want, I could teach you some stuff, though I've got more practice with longer hair." "Maybe I will. What about you?" Niall's hand touches her braids. "These? I'm taking them out soon. Probably go back to cornrows." "We could help," says Nikki gently, "if you'd like. I'd be interested in learning." "Oh," Niall's voice stutters. It's not a fast process. I'm talking hours." "We've got time," reminds Nikki, "but only if you want." "Maybe," says Niall, and there's something in her throat, a sudden hot ache of gratitude, homesick, nostalgia. No more words come, so she retreats to her room to put things away, lining up the shampoo and conditioner, stacking the hair cream, nudging them so they're as centered and straight as they'd be in the store display, and the lump in her throat is gone. Having a shower all to herself still feels like a luxury, and the only stopwatch is how long the water heater can keep up. She keeps things quick and efficient. Takes her time with her hair. The shampoo she picked up is silky smooth between her fingers, fragrant with lemon and olive oil when she works it to a lather. Niall carefully rubs it into her scalp and hairline before slowly and methodically pressing it into and between her braids, humming softly. The spray of water from the showerhead rattles as she ducks her head beneath it to rinse it all out. She's still impressed the plumbing hasn't sprung a leak after so many years of inattention. She gives the ends of each braid one last squeeze before finally shutting off the groaning water, stretching to grab her towel, examining the braids in her reflection. They're starting to grow out, but she can keep them a little while longer. She props her phone beside the mirror and cues up a video on the works of Pietro Sennonica while she works moisturizing cream into her hair, touching up her edges and checking for flyaways. It feels right. learning about the works of an oft-forgotten Italian while visiting his country. Maybe they can go to Rome and see some of his statues in person. Not for the first time, Niall shakes her head, hardly able to believe how quickly the shape of her life has changed in the last 2 months. Joining the army had been a way to honor her father and to see the world. That, at least, wasn't changing. She hopes the first reason isn't either. The afternoon finds them all in what Niall considers the living room, the room adjacent to the kitchen on the main floor. She's scrolling on her phone, catching up on the news, while Joe reads a book on the couch. Nikki and Andy are at the table. He's cleaning and sharpening the kitchen knives, methodically oiling and then grinding down the blades, while Andy stands and unpacks one of the bags they had brought with them on the plane. There's a steady thump as Andy dumps things out, and then she suddenly freezes. "Andy?" asks Nikki. Niall and Joe look up, where Andy is staring at a book in her hand. "What did you find?" Andy doesn't respond. "Andy?" he asks again. Joe shifts forward, couch creaking. "That fucker!" shouts Andy and hurls the book onto the floor. "That fucker!" she repeats, spinning on her heel and viciously kicking over the nearest chair on her way out. Niall makes an abortive move to follow her. "Should we give her space?" says Nikki, shaking his head. Joe gets up and to grab the book from the ground. "What happened?" asks Niall. "Don Quixote," says Joe quietly. "Ah," says Nikki, as if that explains things. Niall clears her throat pointedly. "Sorry," says Nikki, wincing a little. "Was a gift. She gave it to Booker." They all stare at the book in silence. "We always gave him shit for liking books with the name Booker," Nikki says softly. "He always liked books that were older than him." Niall watches Joe try to smile. His lips curl a little, but it's more a grimace. "I can't," he says finally, shoulders hunching towards Nikki, who reaches up to wrap his arms around his waist. "Mi serve più tempo." Niall turns away, awkwardly poking at a dusty box of bullets, apparently, because obviously you put those on side tables here, while Nikki and Joe murmur a few more soft words to each other. They all go to bed early. The next day, Andy kicks her ass up and down the courtyard until Nikki takes sympathy on her and distracts them with a knife-throwing challenge, claiming he wants to test the fresh edges he gave the blades. "I thought you were sharpening the kitchen knives," says Niall. "I was," he says, "but then I figured, why not do the rest of them?" "Based on the bullets on the end table," she says, "I'm going to guess she found these under a bed." He gives her a blank look. "Of course not," he says straight-faced. "Everyone knows you keep throwing knives in the linen closet." "Ha," yells Andy, and slaps a knife into his hand, waving at her latest throw. "Beat that." 3 nights in, and Niall finds that the door to her bedroom is always open when she wakes up. She's the only one sleeping on her own. Andy, Nikki, and Joe sleep on the largest of the bedrooms, where 3 bed frames have all been pushed against the walls like a makeshift dormitory. Joe and Nikki by the window, Andy on the far wall, and the empty bed between them. Niall stares at the open doorway. She feels like the open door ought to bother her, but she has a hazy memory of a shadow pausing in the frame, a reassuring presence, like a guardian in the night. The next night, she closes the door out of habit and is halfway back to bed when she realizes, pauses. Niall takes 3 steps back to swing it open again before crawling under the covers. On Sunday, Joe wakes her up early, waving a cup of warm coffee under her nose, like he planned her Pavlovian response to the rich aroma. "Come on," he says, "we're going on a field trip." "Who's we?" she mumbles grouchily. But she takes the cup, cradling her fingers around it. "Nikki and I," says Joe. "Andy said she didn't have time for mumbo-jumbo shit." Niall snorts a small laugh. "Are we doing a séance?" "Better," says Joe, grinning. "We're going to church." "And by church, I mean a church," says Joe, fingers tapping the steering wheel as they rumble up the side of the mountain. "National monument now. You have to buy tickets." For some reason, this seems to delight him. Nikki is less amused. "A church should not charge for entry," he mutters. Joe chuckles. They have to pay for upkeep, Habibi. Where are we going exactly? Asks Niall. Cattolica d'Estilo, says Nicky. The church is built on the side of a mountain overlooking the houses of the valley, a brick cube with five domes rising from it, one on each corner and a large one rising from the center. Without the domed roofs, it would look, Niall thinks, kind of like an enormous ancient Lego. They pay at the gate, and Nicky smoothly declines a tour guide, clearly charming the woman who waves them past the small counter to walk up the main entrance. As they draw closer, the decorative diamond patterning of the brick walls becomes clearer, and the clay tiles of the roof give the domes a uniform wave, like a perfectly crimped pie crust. The windows are set in arches, bricks radiating out like miniature suns. How old is this place? Asks Niall. Built in the 9th century, under the Byzantine Empire, says Nicky, reading from his flyer. It's one of the few remaining examples of Byzantine architecture. The entrance is tall and dark and narrow, and it takes a moment for her eyes to adjust. What do you think? Asks Joe. The central interior is lit with sunlight pouring through multiple windows. Square cobbles make for an uneven floor, and rough brick builds up the walls while four large columns hold aloft the high vaulted ceiling. Niall blinks. Is that pillar upside down? It's hard to miss. A completely different color from the other columns, with floral carvings at its base. Yes, from the Romans. Nicky waves her closer, pointing at some roughly hewn markings on the smooth column side. See these? What is it? Asks Niall. Arabic. And the other one? He points to the other column best as the entrance. Its base is wider than the two columns in back. Has Greek. They reuse building material they found in the area, says Joe. He drifts towards one of the frescoes on the wall while Nicky continues talking. The Cattolica name is derived from the Greek word katholiki, referring to monastic settlements, though the holy water font over there was added later when the Latin rites were introduced. The bell is from about the same time. Niall looks up at the ceiling over the entrance, where a seated Christ looks down, angels surrounding him. Despite the crumbling plaster, the painting is bright with rich reds and blues. In the center of the room, the ceiling opens even higher, multiple windows drawing in light. There's a bell? In the left apse, says Nicky, his quiet voice echoes in the empty chamber, though they only ring it for special occasions now. You remember. You've seen so much. Joe leans over, tapping his temple, memory like a steel trap. Nicky shakes his head. Don't listen to this liar, he says. We've done the tour for this church many times. You know, he adds, musing, for most of our lives we had no idea what was going on around the world. Architectural mores changing, technology advancing, new fashion styles. It's fun coming back and seeing what you missed. Yeah, adds Joe, gesturing to the far wall. Like how poor St. John over there lost his forehead, he says, making Niall laugh. They wander apart, and Niall is drawn to the painting, searching for familiar apostles and saints, taking the time to bow her head and pray, wondering how many people before her have done the same. Finally, she notices that it's just Nicky and her in the building. Where did Joe go? He stepped outside. Are you ready to go back? The bright sun blinds them as they emerge from the building, and it takes a few blinks before they spot Joe, leaning against the mountainside with his sketchbook out. Ready? He asks, closing it easily and tucking the pencil in his front pocket. Maybe you'll go back there someday, says Nicky as they rumble back down the winding mountain road, and you can see how it's changed. Yeah, says Niall, smiling as the church shrinks into the distance. Thank you. After a lesson in grappling with Andy, Niall takes a shower and is putzing around on her phone when she hears someone in the kitchen. She's surprised to find it's Andy slapping a baking sheet onto the counter. Long time no see, kid, says Andy. Hey, Andy, she says. What you up to? Sprizzolona, says Andy smoothly, leaning back. Three sticks of butter are already set out on the counter. Want to help? Niall nods. What is it? Baked dessert thing, says Andy, scrunching up her face. Kind of like shortbread, I guess, but strudely. Like a dessert bar? Andy looks unsatisfied. Eh, sort of. You break pieces off instead of cutting it up. Whatever, the important thing is it's got the holy trinity, sugar, butter, and nuts. Sign me up, agrees Niall easily. Niall is handed almonds and hazelnuts to chop while Andy pulls sugar, salt, cornmeal, and flour out from the wooden cupboards, still gleaming after Nikki's thorough cleaning. Not too fine, says Andy, handing her a bowl with sugar in it. Mix it up with the nuts. Briefly, Niall looks for a spoon, but Andy dumps a bunch of cornmeal out directly on the counter, so she digs in with her hands. Andy sprinkles some salt on top and cuts the butter into small bits. We'll dump it all together, she says. Mix it up with your fingers, but don't press it. Should be all crumbly. Niall digs in, the soft butter clumping as it gathers the sugar and meal, jagged nuts sticking out. Andy sprinkles some flour on top, waits for her to mix it, then pokes it before adding more flour. The kitchen is warm, and Niall realizes the oven must be preheating. It smells slightly woodsy and sweet. You do much baking? Asks Andy, eyeing the mixture critically and adding more flour. Mostly for the holidays, says Niall. With my mama and my brother, we would bake sheets of sugar cookies and gingerbread men, decorate them with frosting and sprinkles. The memory is bittersweet and stings her eyes. What about you? Andy shrugs. I learned this recipe from a farm woman during my first visit to Italy in Mantua. Showed me how to make butter as well. Andy pauses, a faraway look in her eyes. Been making it ever since. She blinks. Not that I like cooking. It's a means to an end. Niall grins. You like sweets. Who doesn't? Asks Andy, and stretches up to grab a bottle of white wine. Niall raises an eyebrow. Don't judge me, says Andy. It's for the recipe. Of course it is, says Niall, as Andy uncaps it and immediately takes a swig. I don't know how you haven't died of alcohol poisoning. Oh, says Andy, splashing some wine into the mixture. I definitely have. Niall dutifully mixes it in. You are crazy. Andy grins and slides the wine bottle over before reaching for a baking pan. Welcome to the team. She finds the boys before wash day. If you guys still want to learn, Niall says, touching her hair, I'm taking them out tonight and braiding tomorrow. Sounds good, yawns Joe, leaning heavily against Nikki's shoulder, open book on his lap, tilting precariously. Nikki smiles and tugs the book back into place. We will be ready. So Niall shampoos her hair, and then it's time to take the braids out. The bathroom counter is a slippery porcelain, but she's gotten good at propping her phone up between the toothpaste and the mirror and loads up a suggested playlist, sending a mental thank you to Copley for her unlimited data plan. They haven't heard from him since they left for Italy. Grabbing her scissors, Niall snips the end of the first braid, working it loose with the tip of her comb, gently unraveling it up to where her natural hair begins. She's got a spray bottle with some conditioner, just enough to keep things damp, putting down the comb to wiggle the braid apart with her fingers, separating out the feed-ins carefully. She lays the synthetic hair out on her bed. She'll need to make sure they dry out before she puts it away to use again later. She pauses to spritz again, the scent of lemongrass hanging in the air. The next song that comes on is only vaguely familiar, so she hums along loosely instead, wonders if her brother knows it, if he's heard it on the radio. Wonders if her mom's sitting, fingers in her hair, gently twisting curls back from her broad face and the laugh lines by her eyes. Her own eyes are wet, and she smears them with the back of her hand. The playlist continues to meander. Once the braid is completely unraveled, it's time to detangle, and Niall works from the tips of her hair inwards with familiar brushstrokes until everything is soft and loose. The song changes again, and this time she sings along. Just a sweet word, she croons softly. The table is prepared for you. The next day, Niall finds Joe and Nikki, unsurprisingly, in the living room. Ready for your first lesson? She asks. She already took the morning to separate her hair into sections, lightly twisted and conditioned. Nikki bumps his shoulder against Joe. The student becomes the teacher, he says, both of them setting their books aside with a smile. That was Almost a Star Wars quote, says Niall, impressed. We saw that movie, didn't we? Asked Joe, curving an eyebrow at Nikki. You're not sure? Nikki nods, face contemplative. Light sword, spaceship, small green alien with big ears. You're joking, says Niall, and then laughs when Nikki's expression cracks into a grin. You are joking, you jerk. I thought I was going to have to sit you down for movie night. We don't watch many movies generally, admits Joe, but we don't live in a cave. Anymore, adds Nikki, though that could change, but we're getting distracted. So Niall sits down and shows them how she divides a small chunk of her hair into three strands, pulling from under the middle section to keep tight to the scalp. Just add a little each time, she says, demonstrating. You don't want to pull too hard, but there should be a maintained pressure. And I've got a conditioner here. Just dab some on occasionally. It'll help keep things smooth. I see why it takes so long, says Joe. These are very fine braids. How fortunate that we are very patient, adds Nikki, bright eyes focused on the movement of her fingers. I think I've got the pattern. May I? Here, says Niall, about an inch in. You can take this one over, and I can start one on the other side. The transfer is awkward but cheerful, and Niall starts on the new braid with a smile, taking care not to pull her edges too tight. How long will these last? Asks Joe, brow furrowed in concentration. 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how well it's done. One for us, then, says Nikki with a laugh. And though he is working slowly, his hands are steady. But we'll get better. Here, says Niall to Joe, you can take this one if you're ready. 2 in the left hand, 1 in the right. Take the index finger and go under. She swipes a bit of conditioner and smooths it down over the braid Nikki's working on. You can use more of this. It prevents flyaways while you're working, protects my hair, and helps the braid last longer. Coconut? Asks Joe, rubbing it between 2 fingers. We used it as sunscreen in the tropics. It's very trendy right now, says Niall. They're putting it in everything. Joe shrugs. It's a very versatile nut. You can tighten it up a bit, she tells Nikki, who adjusts his hold. This will be good to know on a job, says Joe practically. Nikki snorts. You're just excited to learn something new to do with your hands. What can I say, says Joe. I like the arts. You're lucky you have been spared from arthritis. Indeed, though I think my fingers are cramping, Joe mutters. Maybe if I cut them off and reattach them. Don't you dare get blood. Niall almost jerks away before she pauses, rewinding his words. We can do that? What, reattach things? Oh, yeah, says Joe. Hurts like a bitch if you get something caught in between while it heals, though. I'll admit to being curious, but I am not chopping my own fingers off, Niall declares firmly. I'm sure an opportunity will come, says Joe, as if that's supposed to be reassuring. Ta-da! Exclaims Joe, finishing the braid with a flourish. How is it? Niall runs her hands over the braid as it curves over her head. Not bad, she says. You don't have to protect my feelings, says Joe, laughing. It's clearly uneven. A bit, admits Niall, but it's still quite good for your first time. Better than me. And you are how old? Asks Nikki dryly. For cornrows? Teenager, for sure. You guys are kind of jumping into the deep end. I started with easier styles. She inhales deeply, lets it out in a soft sigh. My mama said that if I was set on joining the military, I needed to know my own hair, that she wouldn't always be around to do it for me. She sounds like a wise woman. She is. You know, one of my earliest memories is of my mom doing my hair, says Niall, and suddenly finds hot tears prickling her eyelashes. Niall, says Nikki quietly, and his steady fingers in her hair pause. Should we stop? He asks. No, she whispers. I just miss her a lot. Maybe you can tell us about her. So she does. She talks about long hours and bagged lunches with giraffes drawn on the front, and her mom dancing in the kitchen while wearing rubber gloves covered in soap suds until she's got a head covered in slightly lopsided cornrows, and her tears have dried. The next day, The sky chokes with dark clouds which burst open, rain hammering loudly on the roof. The mood inside is just as grim. Andy fidgeting recklessly with a Sudoku book, tapping the stub of a pencil against the arm of her chair, while Joe pokes sadly at a bowl of oatmeal. No fresh baked goods this morning. Nikki doesn't even offer to heat her some milk. So Niall drinks her coffee black with a banana, checking the weather online before considering the gloomy room. Okay, she finally says, I cannot do this all day. There's got to be chores or something that will get you up and moving. We could probably clear out the linen closets, says Nikki, while Joe shoots her a dirty look. But he gets up with a groan to follow Nikki, and they upend the entire contents of the deep closet, sorting out sheets that have had entire sections shredded into mouse bedding. Andy finally joins them when they unearth a box full of padlocks, which she places on the table reverently, before coming back to help dig out three dusty crates full of dark bottles, more bullet casings, and a stack of yellowing newspapers. You know, helping with the laundry was one of my first chores, Niall says, roughly folding the least damaged blankets and setting them aside. My mama made it sound so important that I bragged about it for a week to my brother until he begged her to let him to help too. Joe huffs in amusement. I fetched hay for the goats. We had lots of goats, more goats than children, though I couldn't say which caused more trouble. Were you a troublemaker? Teases Niall, and Joe quickly waves a hand. Oh, no, I was the serious one, the academic, the bookworm. Of course, he adds, that meant on the rare occasion I did pull something, I always got away with it. I collected sticks, said Andy slowly, dry sticks for kindling. I was sent to collect water, says Nikki. I like to sprinkle it along my path, imitating the priests in mass. My father was angry, but I think it helped pave my way with the church. His lips quirk. But that was a long time ago. He eyes the pile of discarded sheets. I suppose we could make cleaning rugs. Andy groans. Nikki, no, just let us burn them. This is perfectly good fabric, argues Nikki, already up and moving. I will find the scissors. I'll be right back. Andy turns a beseeching look to Joe, who just shrugs. Our Niccolo is not a wasteful man, he says. He's wasting time, says Andy. But it's the bin of newspapers that she empties into the fireplace. Niall, you know how to pick a lock? I can shoot a lock, says Niall. Too loud, says Andy, pulling three grimy padlocks out and dumping them on the table. Come here, I'll show you. Niall catches Nikki alone after breakfast, washing up the last of the plates. Nikki, says Niall, pausing in the doorway, can I ask you about something? He looks up and smiles. Of course, Niall. Have a seat. She pulls back a chair, turns it so the back is between them, and she can rest her arms on it when she sits. He finishes wiping down a plate, tucks the towel onto the oven handle to dry, and then sits across from her. What would you like to know? He asks. You said you were a priest before. Do you still believe in God? Ah, says Nikki, and his eyes settle on the cross around her neck. You don't have to answer that if you don't want to, she adds quickly. No, it's okay. I just need to think for a moment on where to begin, says Nikki, clasping his hands in front of him on the table. He's silent for a long moment while Niall chews on her lip. Niall, he finally says, brows furrowed earnestly, I joined the crusade, because it's what I believed my God wanted of me. I was bringing salvation to infidels who were violently rejecting the one thing that could save them. And while I had moments of doubt, up until my death, I believed in the war with my whole heart. He sighs. And then I met Yusuf. With these hands, he held his long fingers up to the light, I killed him. Many times, just as he killed me. And when he was the first to walk away, I followed him, Niall, so I could do it again. He gives a little laugh, short and dark. I only stopped when I was too tired to even lift my sword, and then he began to talk to me, though we could hardly understand each other, and slowly I found him to be an intelligent man, an artist, a scholar. He took me to the markets and introduced me to spices like cinnamon and pepper, and pomegranates and honey. He showed me libraries and mosques. I kept following him. And everywhere we went, I found myself confronted with new things, beautiful things. How could these people be the infidels I had been told I was fighting? His lips twist. It took us a long time, Niall, and most of it was Yusuf waiting for me to catch up. That's why I said we fight for what we think is right. Sometimes you don't know, or can't know, whether it's related to religion or not. Oh, says Niall. Yes, says Nikki solemnly. My immortality was a chance to unlearn everything I thought I knew. His pale eyes meet Niall's. Everything. Right, breathes Niall, and isn't sure what else she can say. I thank you for sharing. Nikki puts his hand out on the table, palm up like an offering. Niall stares at it for a long moment before sliding her hand across the table to rest her fingers on his. Niall, he says softly, I do believe in God still, and I do not carry guilt endlessly for who I used to be, but I have also learned much about moral obligation and complicity, and now my faith is changed. His smile is flickering and small, but his fingers are warm and steady. This is just my story. It doesn't have to be yours. Your God is already so different from the one I grew up with. The break's nice, but it's weird. Not having a job to do or anywhere to be, and Niall's starting to feel restless. She figures it's time to start easing out of vacation mode, so she sets her alarm early, pulls on running shorts, and is out the door a little after sunrise. Niall hits the rush of endorphins halfway through her run and is still grinning when she returns to the house, looking forward to a shower and breakfast, only to pull up short when she enters the living room. Andy is lounging in a chair, reading a book one-handed, the other hefting Niall's laptop in the air casually, as if it were forgotten. Around her, the room is just trashed. The table is literally a foot from where it used to be, everything on it scattered on the floor, the chairs overturned. What happened? She cries. What? Asks Andy, blinking and looking up. Niall gestures at the room. Oh, says Andy. That was the boys. She waggles the laptop. I saved your laptop. What were they? Niall begins to ask, but stops when Andy smirks. They weren't, the smirk grows. Well, you were here? And you just sat there? Niall asks, aghast. People these days are such prudes, sighs Andy. You do know families used to share one bed, and babies don't come from cabbages. I can't, says Niall, throwing her hands up and fleeing before Andy can say anything more. Oi, Andy calls after her, still waving the laptop. You're welcome. But despite her dismay, there's something about the, living room incident that bothers Niall. Something coldly uncomfortable amidst the hot rush of embarrassment. She worries at it all evening, poking and unraveling threads of thoughts. Joe and Nikki, the drive to the church, religion, their arms wrapped tight around each other every night in the dark. The next morning, she leaves Andy and Nikki arguing over a chessboard. They have apparently developed some custom rules over the years, but disagree on the particulars, to join Joe outside. It's the first overcast day since they arrived, though the air is still warm beneath the heavy gray clouds. Hey, Joe, Niall says, going for casual. She's not sure she's hit the mark because Joe immediately straightens from where he was leaning over the open engine of the Hummer. It smells faintly of oil and gas, and there's a toolbox on the ground at his feet. Niall, he says, smiling easily, what's up? I don't mind if you and Nikki want to be more, affectionate. Niall blurts, shifting her weight from one foot to the other. I don't usually see you hug each other or kiss when I'm around. I don't know if that's a thing you do usually, but if you are avoiding it because of me, you don't have to. Joe blinks at her, opens his mouth. Yesterday, Andy mentioned it, Niall says quickly, feeling her face flush. Not in detail, but it got me thinking about stuff. Stuff, repeats Joe, grinning. I'm trying to be sensitive, you jerk, says Niall, fighting a smile of her own, relieved. It's very kind of you, he assures her. We do not need displays, but, he adds, tilting his head, I suppose we're all creatures of habit, some formed in less accepting times. Perhaps, he trails off for a moment before blinking back into focus to lean forward, quirking an eyebrow, I assume you have no interest in witnessing anything like yesterday. No, thank you, Niall confirms, and Joe leans back over the engine, laughing. Honestly, Niall admits, I did kind of wonder if, you know, there was still a spark after being together so long. Oh, drawls Joe, there's definitely still a spark. He pauses, then gestures upward to gray sky. Nikki is my twin star, my partner in orbit. When I am lost, he is the moon that pulls my tide to shore. Just to share his sky is enough to make me happy. He smiles, soppy and smitten. To light a spark between us is to burn into a comet and crash together before settling back into our mirrored path through the heavens. Niall stares at him with wide eyes. Wow, she breathes. His lips twist in opposite directions, a bit abashed. Too much? No, that's just so romantic. Kinda gives me hope, you know? Joe ducks his head. I am a very fortunate man. You're definitely setting a high bar, mutters Niall, as he crouches down to rummage around in the toolbox and pulls out a filthy-looking rag. So, what are you doing? He taps the front of the vehicle. Just checking the oil in the filter, looking for any corrosion, loose wires. Niall tilts her head, eyes narrowing. Didn't we rent this? Joe shrugs. I like working on cars. It's relaxing. You're probably one of those people who actually likes the smell of gasoline, says Niall. Joe laughs as she wrinkles her nose. What, you don't? He teases. Even though they said they would teach her Italian, most of what Niall picks up is domestic and food-related. Phrases like, mi passa il pepe, though she learns that adding salt and pepper is a very American habit, and vino rosso o bianco. It's always the red wine, if she asks Andy, regardless of their meal, much to Nikki's continued dismay. Andy's Russian lessons appear to consist almost entirely of directions, numbers, and weapons. Niall has no clue how to say, hello, nice to meet you, but she can say there are 3 machine guns above them and 5 swords in the basement. That would be a lie. She's certain there are more, but hasn't had a chance yet to do a full inventory. She downloads Duolingo on her phone for some supplementary vocab. She doesn't mention it to the others. It's just a hunch, but she feels like they might be offended. IKEA sends her an email on their new line of throw pillows. I gotta say, says Niall, taking a moment to really look around the living room, there are 3 throw pillows and they would not match with anything IKEA is offering. The decorative choices are eclectic, but it kind of works. And I like that lighthouse, she adds, pointing to a painting in the corner. Thank you, says Joe. I lived there for a few years. Wait, did you paint that? I did, mostly from memory. I didn't have paints with me at the time. You didn't have much of anything with you at the time, grumbles Nikki. How can you say that? I had you, cries Joe, before winking at Niall and fake whispering. Nikki did not like the lighthouse. Nikki scowls. It was very cold and damp, and it smelled like the sea, dead fish. I'm trying to remember how we ended up there. It definitely wasn't planned. Niall laughs. They do say life is like a box of chocolates. It really isn't, says Andy, not looking up. Niall narrows her eyes. It's a quote. From Forrest Gump? She swings her gaze to Nikki and Joe. It's like a box of chocolates because you don't know what you're going to get. Seriously? Joe throws a hand in the air. I told you, we don't watch a lot of movies. We saw Casablanca, protests Nikki, and that awful French art house film Booker dragged us to. Joe affects a shudder. We do not speak of it. That settles it. We are doing a movie night, Niall says firmly, with popcorn. She dedicates the next hour to putting together a watch list and then has to figure out how many of them share a similar streaming platform. Having films come to you via the internet is nice, but damn if they aren't scattered across a stupid number of different platforms. "We have a surprise for you," says Nikki, the dimple on his cheek flashing. Niall looks up in surprise. "What, really?" "Follow me," he says, and leads her to one of the bedrooms she's been ignoring. The door is shut, and Joe is standing beside, bouncing back on his heels. "Go on," he says, "open it up." So Niall reaches for the curved door handle and slowly eases it open. The lights of the room are off, but small string lights line the ceiling like little stars. A white bedsheet is pinned up on the wall, pillows on the floor, and a low projector sits on a crate. "You said we should have a movie night, so we figured we should have a movie theater," says Nikki. "You can hook this up to your laptop," says Joe, waving a USB cord attached to the projector. "You guys," she says, spinning in a circle, then back to them. "This is amazing." Joe rubs the back of his head, and Nikki gives a little shrug, as if it's not that big a deal. "I gotta hug you. Can I hug you?" Niall blurts, flinging her arms around Nikki when he opens his arms to her, and then Joe charges in, wrapping his arms around them both and trying to lift them up with a growl, and instead tipping them over. They nearly upend the projector as they tumble onto the floor laughing, and Niall throws herself to the side, nearly clipping it with her elbow and eating a face full of cushion. Nikki is the first to recover, propping his head up on an elbow like he was intending to lounge on the floor the whole time. "Nice roll," he says, grinning. "Thank you," says Niall, reclining her head regally. "This is new," says Andy from the doorway, and they turn to see her examining it with an arched brow. "Andy," cries Joe, "come join us on the floor." "Eh," she says. But by then, Joe's got a hand wrapped around an ankle, and she rolls with a tug to put him into a headlock, which he quickly wriggles out of, grappling and kicking as they wrestle across the floor. "I gotta learn that move," says Niall, watching them. "Which one?" asks Nikki, army crawling over to her. "The headlock," she says. "I can show you," says Nikki. And she sees his grin a few seconds too late before she's being spun around and pinned to the floor. "Cheater," she gasps. And he immediately loosens up when she taps his leg. She gathers her legs under her, readies her arms, and grins back. "Again?" "What are you working on?" Nikki asks. And she tilts her phone towards him. He scrolls through her movie list. "This is the one about the ship that sinks and everybody drowns," he asks, pointing at it, "Titanic." Niall's mind flashes to an underwater scream, and she nearly fumbles the phone in her haste to delete it. "Shit, thanks." Her finger pauses, hovering. "Did you have anything you wanted to add to the list?" Nikki shakes his head. "I'm looking forward to being surprised," he tells her. "But I don't know what kind of movies you all like. What if you hate them?" "Then we'll choose a different one," he says practically. They start with Forrest Gump, since that's the movie that sparked it all. Nikki takes the mandate for popcorn very seriously and insists on popping two double boiler batches, filling their makeshift theater room with the scent of butter, garlic, and parmesan. "I should learn to drive like that," says Andy dreamily, as the dusty desert of Mad Max Fury Road rolls through the credits. "Absolutely not," says Nikki, which doesn't quite cover Joe muttering, "You already do." Andy throws a pillow at him. "Nice markings on the war boys," she says. "Always did like ornamental scarring." She rolls her head back to look at Niall. "Doesn't work for us, of course. Skin heals right up." "Oh," says Niall suddenly, and pushes her shirt collar aside, craning to look at her shoulder blade. "Does that mean you have a tattoo?" asks Joe, intrigued. "Yeah," says Niall, and sighs, relieved when she sees the edge of ink still on her skin. "Got it right before I deployed." "Maybe I should get some tattoos again," Andy says. Niall looks at her tanned, bare arms. "You had tattoos?" "Oh, yes," Andy stretches out her limbs. "Big, beautiful ones on both arms and legs." "But you don't have them anymore." "As the skin continues to grow, the ink gets pushed out with it," Nikki says. "They fade with time. Just like anyone else, we just get more time, unless it gets cut off, of course." "I had a nice set once," says Joe. Of course, having visible ones nowadays is a bit too recognizable. Andy leans forward, eyes bright. Do people still get face tattoos? Joe groans. Is this going to be like a midlife crisis thing? Niall asks, alarmed. Andy snorts. I'm way past midlife. They say the longer you put it off, the worse it is. You just made that up. That does not make this better. It's a quiet afternoon, and Niall is curled up in one of the lumpy armchairs with her phone when Andy suddenly says her name. Niall, let's go out. What? Niall looks up in surprise, and then over when Andy tilts her head towards the living room table where Nikki is sitting and reading, one arm tucked casually over the shoulder of the chair. He doesn't look up. She looks back at Andy in confusion, only to have Andy tilt her head to the other side of the room, where Joe is sitting on the couch, staring straight at Nikki and just smoldering. And it's like gulping a lungful of water, this sudden awareness of the tension in the room. Right, says Niall, a bit strangled, grabbing her shoes and rushing past Andy into the hallway. There's a slight rasp as Nikki turns a page of his book, and a sudden blur as Joe launches himself across the room before the door clicks shut behind Andy. There's a loud thud and clatter as the chair crashes to the floor. So, says Andy, cool as a cucumber. There's another muffled slam behind them and a cut-off moan that makes Niall spin away from the doorway, blushing, and beat a hasty retreat down the street. Andy follows at a more languid pace. Want to check out some museums? Andy points at a flail under glass, part of a lineup of medieval weapons. That's not a thing. Niall's eyebrows rise, and she quickly looks around to see if anyone else has heard. It's a forgery, she whispers, leaning closer. No, I mean, it's not an actual weapon. One-handed long chain, giant spike ball? Andy snorts. How would you even use it? Way too heavy to get a good swing with. No, with a long chain, you want a small hit for speed. Niall wonders how long it will take her to stop being impressed. You fought with a flail? Mostly fought against. Not really my style. That was more... Andy breaks off and her face stills and darkens. Never mind. Let's go look at the mummies. Line drying clothes has, at least in the short term, a certain charm. The pegs in the house are wooden clips, gray with age, and the weather has been sunny and warm. She hadn't exactly packed for the long term, and now that she's started running in the mornings, Niall washes her workout clothes every other day after she gets back and hangs them up to dry in the afternoon sun. Now, full of lunch and just a bit drowsy, she's pulling them down from where they gently shift in the breeze when Andy returns from the who knows where, jerking the Land Rover to a stop and waving as she leaps out and saunters into the house. Niall waves back and takes the time to fold her clothes under the sun and fresh air and check on the small rosemary plants they'd brought home from the market and planted along the southern edge of the house. Nikki had told her they were tough plants and wouldn't need any attention once they got established. Niall didn't have his confidence. The cuttings looked small and delicate to her, and she made sure to visit them and give them some water once a day. Rosemary coddled in laundry under her arm, Niall returned to the house, only to stop dead in the doorway and sniff the air. Is that weed? She finally bursts. Andy, lounging on the couch in a loose, long-sleeved shirt that Niall doesn't recognize, arches an eyebrow and waves a blunt in her direction, a thin gray line of smoke lazily rising towards the ceiling. You want some? No, cries Niall, and quickly shuts the door behind her. We're supposed to be laying low and you're doing drugs? In the house? Where did you get that? Oh, come on, laughs Andy. You've seen how much alcohol we drink. You really think we don't branch out and try other substances? Besides, she adds, stretching, it's tradition. Smoked weed after my first tattoo. Well, we threw leaves on the fire and sat around it, but same idea. That's enough to distract Niall, at least temporarily. You got a tattoo? Where? Left arm, says Andy, rolling her shoulder and wincing a little. Only stings a bit. Not used to the feeling, lingering. They put this plastic sticker thing on top of it so I can still wear a shirt and all. Can I see it? Andy grins. Not yet. Not until it's done. Oh, boy, how many sessions is it going to take? 4, says Andy, and blows out a gust of smoke. Sure you don't want any? I'm turning on the fan, says Niall, shaking her head. I can't believe you. This place is going to reek for days. Don't worry so much, insists Andy. Besides, this is Italy. It's legal here? Eh, says Andy. Misdemeanor? Niall glares and throws open each window with a loud bang. The Sound of Music is next on the list after wash day, so Niall brings her supplies along. We're doing hair? Asks Andy, flopping onto the floor, beer in hand. Cornrows, says Nikki. Niall is teaching us. Tap me in when you want, says Andy. I've got braiding experience. Yeah? Asks Niall, leaning forward. Mm-hmm. I remember one particular Roman hairstyle. 6 different braids wrapping around the head and a special needle to sew them into place. Not that you could see it, really. Almost the entire thing got covered up by head wraps. Sounds complicated. Did you need help doing it on yourself? Oh, you definitely need help. And I definitely did not wear the hairstyle myself, chuckles Andy. It represented the vow of chastity that all Vestal virgins took when they joined the Temple of Vesta. I'm guessing you were a bad influence, teases Joe. Andy smirks. The definition of virgin was rather narrow at the time. She waves a hand. It was a pretty good gig, honestly. No marriage, and Vestal virgins could actually own land, though it meant tending fires and baking festival cakes for 30 years. Had to join as a kid, though. Too bad, says Niall. Given your sweet tooth, I think you'd have done well with cakes. Joe whistles the tune of Favorite Things for a full week, until Andy upends a bucket of water over his head. They go out to eat, cutting into a steaming hot pizza al funghi, pizza capricosa, and pizza margherita with the knife and fork, the thin, crispy dough full of air pockets cracking and fragrant with yeast. Niall even manages to string together a sentence thanking the cute waitress who brings them beer. Don't make eyes at people here, mutters Andy, kicking her under the table. People remember you when you flirt with them. Niall blushes. I wasn't. Zip it. Save it for Reggio. Bigger city, more people, more tourists. We're not going to the city just to so I can find a hookup. Of course not. We're going so I can. Also, I want to go dancing, she smirks. What you choose to get up to is up to you. I do not want to know, insists Niall, and Andy just laughs. They don't go to Reggio because Copley contacts them about a job, a small terrorist cell in Croatia, a basic clean and sweep before bombs get placed. They fly into a small airfield in the dead of the night and load up in a dingy motel. Niall steals her face, throws back her shoulders, and thrusts a bulletproof vest in Andy. You need to wear this, she says, as grimly as she can. Andy, of course, just shakes her head with a small smile. I told you, when it's my time, it's my time. You are jeopardizing the mission, Niall argues. Andy just shrugs. It's my call to make. Seriously? Niall turns to glare at Nikki and Joe, who won't meet her furious eyes. She is the boss, says Joe with a little shrug. Sorry, Niall. This is some bullshit, hisses Niall. So we take this job and we half-ass it so you can get an extra shot at dropping dead. Because if you just get injured, you know we're not going to leave you behind. You guys are supposed to be the best. Is this the best? Joe and Nikki look to each other, then to Andy. She's got a point, Joe says softly. Thank you, says Niall. Look, I get that these guys trust you. They respect you because you've earned it. I assume, with less idiotic choices than I haven't seen, earn my respect. You promise to help. We do the job. We do it right. It is what we do, says Nikki. Andy sighs loudly, looks away, crosses her arms. Mutiny. I should have known. Niall raises her chin. Andy turns to meet her gaze. Fine, I'll wear it, bunch of worrywart busybodies. Aw, says Nikki, as Joe snorts a laugh. But this is it, Andy says sharply. I wear this, you better not coddle me. Course not, promises Joe. The rosemary looks fine when they get back. One of them has even put out a new leaf, bright green and narrow. They settle back into their domestic routines. Okay, this movie is based on the board game, says Niall, loading up Clue. You know, person X in the whatever room with specific weapon. Nikki, says Joe immediately. In the kitchen with the mezzaluna. I would not, protests Nikki. Besides, it would be Andy on the stairs with the pool cue. Joe, says Andy. He keeps that scimitar in the umbrella stand, and it's the closest to the front door. Feel like I gotta step up my game, mutters Niall. Niall snaps awake to Andy's yell, leaping halfway out of bed before her brain catches up, heart pounding. She nearly collides with Joe and Nikki, giggling as they rush by her in the hall. I will end you, bellows Andy. What happened? She asks, bewildered. Swapped her toothpaste, gasps Nikki, ducking as a crossbow bolt embeds itself in the wallpaper above the both of them. Licorice flavor, yells Joe. Nikki, move! Nikki tucks his head and rolls down the stairs, gracefully leaping back to his feet when he reaches the floor and out the front door. Niall spins around. Andy sprints past her, shoving the crossbow into her arms and snarling at the sound of the engine gunning it in the courtyard. Niall gapes after her, clutching the crossbow to her chest. Where even? She asks, looking down at it. There's a smear of toothpaste on the carved wooden handle. In the bathroom, she says aloud, laughing a little. With the crossbow, of course. They slink back that evening with a beautiful gâteau de millefeuille, which Joe presents to Andy with both hands like a peace offering. The top of it is marbled with chocolate and vanilla icing, and the sides are packed with slivered almonds. Andy stares down at them from the doorway, eyes narrowed. We also brought dinner, says Nikki, pulling two takeout bags from the passenger seat. Parmigiana di melanzane? Hump, says Andy, and steps back to let them both inside.
Is she drinking on the job? Asks Nikki.
You drink all the time, says Niall. Also, you do not judge Mary Poppins.
I hated those hats, says Andy, though I did once strangle.
You're back late, says Niall, as Andy strolls in well after 9 p.m. after disappearing with a mysterious wave and the roar of the SUV leaving the courtyard. Nikki, put your leftovers. Oh my God, is that a hickey? I thought you were getting your tattoo. Yes, Andy smirks, I was. Niall gapes at her before pointing an accusing finger. Your tattoo artist? You said not to get involved with people here.
It's fine. She's already going to remember me with this tattoo job.
Hypocrite, says Niall succinctly.
Not like I'm going to be around long enough for it to be an issue, adds Andy, and looks surprised when Niall's expression falls.
It's actually nice, you know, Andy says softly, knowing there's an end. She leans against the wall, looks down as she raises a hand, forcing it into a fist, then loose again. For so long, I worried there wouldn't be. Besides, Andy adds cheerfully, there's still plenty of time to give you lot hell.
Ah, says Nikki, I've seen this one.
Oh, says Niall, pausing the opening scenes of Chocolat. We can choose something else.
No, no, he says immediately. I've never seen it like this, and waves at the room and them. It will be new in ways that matter.
Making caramels? Asks Niall when she walks by and sees Joe and Nikki in the kitchen. Joe laughs, still stirring carefully at the caramel-colored mixture on the stove. Not quite, says Nikki, smiling. We are making smoke bombs. Oh, says Niall, eyebrows rising. Of course. Potassium nitrate and sugar, he says, pointing with a pair of scissors. He's cutting up loops of string in his other hand, which he waves. These are the fuses. And this? She asks, pointing at the silicone mold on the counter. It's bright red with heart-shaped indentations. Niall feels a sudden burst of affection as both men struggle to keep their faces straight. It was on sale, says Joe, cheek jumping. Nikki nods. He has a better poker face than Joe does. Also, smoke bombs are very romantic, he adds, which is enough to break Joe into a snigger. Right, says Niall, amused. Have a nice date night, boys.
We can teach you the recipe, Joe calls after her, for when you meet someone special.
This is not very accurate, says Andy, loudly chewing on a mouthful of popcorn. You know, says Niall, grinning, I've been looking forward to your commentary on this one.
Well, first off, they would never let all those gladiators die like that. Fighters like that are expensive. Their owners would go bankrupt.
But they were slaves, says Niall. Oh, yeah, lots of slaves.
that you could get into it as a career, says Andy. There were schools. Not important. The point is, you're an investment. Solid meals, medical care, a chance to drum up adoring fans in the stands. She slants a sly look at Niall. Sometimes in bed, if you were real popular. The fight on screen does a close-up shot of a vicious head strike. Oof, says Nikki. Next to him, Joe is lounging back, gleefully cradling an entire bowl of mustard-flavored popcorn to himself. Andy throws her hands up. No! Where are the referees? Andy, cries Joe as they all look up from the living room. They had made it about a quarter through sorting a weird grab bag of bullets that Niall found under the sink, sorting by round size into different mixing bowls before Joe suggested they turn it into a beer pong-ass drinking game later that evening. Bored, Nikki and Niall had quickly agreed. How'd your last appointment go? Andy pauses, grinning in the doorway. Tattoo is done. They all lean forwards in various shades, a barely concealed interest. You want to see it? Yes, cries Niall, fairly bouncing out of her seat, as Andy twists to show them her bare left arm. Black ink curls around her shoulder and bicep, stark lines tracing the sinuous curves of an enormous snake, twisting above the curving crouch of a panther, claws extended. Nikki rises from the couch to embrace Andy, her arms rising to wrap around his broad shoulders. It's beautiful, Nikki whispers, brushing a kiss against her cheek. Before stepping back, Joe takes his place, bumping foreheads in lieu of his usual bear hug. Niall hovers behind them, uncertain. Andy smiles at her. You can hug me after you see the other side, she says, and then turns to show them her right arm, shiny, under the second skin covering it. There are three creatures on this side, thick bands of black leaping into the fierce lines of a hawk's spread wings, soaring over a lion, an antlered stag that nearly touch nose to nose, their poses a reverse image of the other. Oh, says Joe, deeply touched. This one's you, Nikki tells Niall, pointing at the hawk. Wait, what, really? She looks at the lines of ink again. So then that's you two. Yes, says Andy, pauses, and then says, the other two are Quinn and Lycan. When my time comes, Andy raises her chin, I want the finest warriors beside me. Andy, you're becoming a poet in your dotage, Joe says approvingly. She snorts and punches him in the arm. Don't get used to it. Niall, come here and don't you dare cry on me. Niall quickly wipes her eyes and ducks into the open-armed hug Andy gives her. They look good, Niall says. I think so too, says Andy, flashing a small smile before straightening her face out. Now give me a light. This blunt isn't going to smoke itself. The end.